Well, let's turn to 1 John and chapter 4 to get started this evening. And we're going to read a short passage from verse 7. 1 John and chapter 4 and from verse 7. And there'll be other readings during the course of the message this evening. The 1 John 4, verse 7. John says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Amen. So we've been pursuing this theme in the last few Sunday evenings of loving the living God. That's how I've entitled the series, Loving the Living God. And where have we got to so far? Let's just do a wee recap. We began by asking, well, why should we love God? And we gave two answers to that. Jesus said it's the greatest thing to do. It's the first and the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. And we also saw we love him because he is most excellently lovely. He is the most lovable being that there is. As we sang at that point in Psalm 17, "I shall be satisfied with seeing your likeness." That's enough for me. Just God. He is lovely. And then I asked, well, what is love? And it was giving your all. Giving all your heart, as the commandment says. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And we asked, what does a life of love look like? And we thought of two things, which we saw in the life of Jesus. Jesus saying, "I love the Father." And in Jesus' life we saw his single-mindedness and his submissiveness. He was single-minded in his love for God. He was submissive to the Father and kept his commands. We asked last week, do we love God? And we found it's not such an easy question to answer. You have to think about your motives, not just about what you do. Like, you can do good works and not love God. But we didn't want to be like the church at Ephesus, which had forsaken its first love. So we've looked at a lot of things, but maybe we've got a bit bogged down in detail. So tonight we're going to stand back a wee bit and just try and look at the whole canvas of God's love, the whole canvas of love for God. I'm going to start now by asking the question, where does love come from? Where does love come from? Now cast your mind back to a sunny day. Today maybe isn't a day to see what I'm talking about. But a sunny day when all the flowers are in bloom. Let's take one of the flowers, one of our native flowers. Let's take the buttercup. Buttercup is a beautiful flower. Buttercup opens up its petals when the sun shines, and it's got a particularly bright and golden hue in its petals. It's a beautiful flower. And maybe some of the crofters here might not welcome the buttercup when it's growing in the middle of your fields, but it is a beautiful flower nevertheless. You admire its golden colour. How do you see that flower? Like, what is it that enables you to see that flower? And the answer is, it's the light of the sun that enables you to see the colour of the petals. So if you're going to tell the full story of the beauty of that flower, you've got to include not just the flower itself, but the sunlight which, bearing down upon the flower, illuminates the flower, and that light reflects from the petals so that you can see it. In fact, if you think about it, the flower is very little compared to the sun which shines upon it. The greatest part of the story of the beauty of the buttercup is the glory of the sun which shines upon it. So at the moment we've been looking at love for God like people who are just looking at the flower. And we need to step back and see where that love comes from. Our love for God might be like the beautiful petals of the buttercup. But where does the light come from to illuminate those petals, without which they would just be dark and unseen? And the light comes from the sun. Where does the love come from with which we love and love God? And we see that in the first reading we've got here in 1 John, in chapter 4, in verse 7. Dear friends, says John, let's love one another. And here's the answer: for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. God is like the sun. He is a great sun of love. And all the energy that God pours in every direction is an energy that is love. God is a vast furnace, if you like, of love. He is burning, passionate, constant love. And if there is any other love in our world, says John, where does it come from? If we do any acts of love, if we speak any words of love, where do they come from? Well, you might say the human heart. But what John is saying is, ultimately, love comes from God. All love comes from God. Just as the light on the face of the golden buttercup is not light created by the buttercup, but comes from the sun. So our love, says John, even though we may be the people that are showing the love, actually comes from God. There is in God enough energy, enough light, enough love, enough heat to kindle love in a trillion hearts. There is enough love in God to enable all the hearts that there ever will be, hearts of angels and hearts of people, to love forever. That's how much love there is in God. So, says John, let us love one another. The sun pours out its energy so that the buttercup, which we admire, may flourish. God pours out his love so that love may flourish in our hearts. So where does love come from? It comes from God. God is the source of all love. How then does God get his love into us? If we are going to love him, and if we're going to love one another, how does he get his love into us? Does he just pour out his love into our hearts? Now, the language of pouring is a language that is often used, and we'll read about it in the Bible in a minute. But love isn't a liquid, in truth. Love is not like a liquid that God can just pour out on us, or that we can just drink. It'd be nice and easy if it was, really, wouldn't it? I think I don't love enough, I'll just have a drink of love and I'll top up and I'll be full of love again. Well, that wouldn't be very straightforward. Love is not like that. Love is personal. Love is something that people show. It's what a person, what you or me, what we choose to show to others. So how does God impart his love to us? If he can't just give us a drink of love, how does he give it to us? Well, because love is personal, because it's something that we show, the way that he does it is by giving us Himself. The way that God puts love into us is He gives us it by coming into us Himself. Let's read again, this time from Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. I'll read the first five verses there. Romans 5. Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That's our standing, that's our status, because of what Jesus has done for us. Through Him, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. This grace, this place where God's gifts are richly endowed upon us. And we rejoice, says Paul, in the hope of the glory of God. We're looking forward to even greater blessings in God's presence. Not only so, though, he says, this is a theme we touched on this morning, we rejoice in our sufferings. Why, says Paul? Well, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. If you keep going through suffering, you get perseverance. And perseverance, character. You become a better person for it. And character produces hope. As you become a better person, you look forward to dwelling with God in the perfection of your character. And hope doesn't disappoint, says Paul, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Hope doesn't disappoint. Well, says Paul, we're looking forward very much to a fuller and deeper relationship with God. And our sufferings will be past, and our character will be complete. And one of the things that we are excited about is the fulfillment of a loving relationship with God. Because already, says Paul, we know God has poured out His love into our hearts. Like I say, love isn't literally a liquid. The pouring is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's the outpouring that happened on the day of Pentecost. And the outpouring that happens any time someone becomes a Christian. When you became a Christian, then God gave His Holy Spirit into your heart. And with the Holy Spirit comes love. Because the Spirit is a person. So how does God get His love into our hearts? Because all love comes from God. How does He get His love into our hearts? He gets His love into our hearts by coming into our hearts Himself. By His Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. His Holy Spirit is love. Or loves within us. He comes to dwell when we receive peace with God through our Lord Jesus. And every Christian has the Holy Spirit within them. No one can be a Christian without having the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. You might not feel tremendously full of the Holy Spirit at this moment, but if your trust is in Jesus Christ, you do have the Holy Spirit. The Word of God declares that very clearly. We were all baptized into one Spirit, says Paul, 1 Corinthians 12. We're all in a place where the Holy Spirit is in our hearts. And so, just as the golden light that we see shining out of those buttercup petals is the light of the sun leaping up to us for us to look at, so the love of God in a Christian the love of the Christian is the love of God within them, leaping out from within them. Because, as Paul says here, God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He's given us. Now that's a remarkable thing to think about. That the way that we love as Christians, the way that we're able to love one another and love fellowship, love what God loves, love His Word, love His presence, love Him, love His commandments, is because God comes personally into our hearts. And when He comes personally, the God who is love, as John said, God is love, within us, his love will come out from within us and be directed to all the things that are most lovely, most pure, most excellent, most praiseworthy. Be directed first of all to God. The Holy Spirit, of course, loves God the Father and the Son. And we will love God. We will love all the things connected with God when we become Christians, because God is in us. Now we'll think a bit more about that in a minute, but let's sing now. Let's take up the purple book and let's sing this passage in Romans 5. Well, it's pretty exciting, this theme, isn't it, to think about how our love is actually, if we're Christians, it's the love of God in us. God commands us to love with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. And to enable us to do that, he comes personally by his Holy Spirit into our hearts, where by his Spirit he is love, God is love. Now that means, if we continue thinking about this, that there is no limit to the love that we are capable of. There is no limit to the love that we can show. If every Christian has the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of love living within them, then because the Spirit of God is God, and because God is love, there is no limit to the love that we can show. Remember how Paul describes the love of God. He says it's got a length and a breadth and a depth and a height that passes knowledge. It's beyond our understanding. And so there's no limit to the love that we can show. Now God can shine his glorious and his eternal love out of our hearts because the Holy Spirit is within them, the Spirit of love. And when the Spirit is in our hearts, there's only one way for him to express himself, and that is through love. We can read in Galatians 5 and verse 22 really, the fruit of the Spirit is love. First of all, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But if you like, the first of the fruit of the Spirit is the love of God. The Spirit loves. Spirit can't but love. That is his nature. God is love. So the Spirit can't but love, and if he's living in me, he cannot but love within me, using my tongue, using my arms, and my legs, and my hands, my resources, my time, my energy. The Spirit of God in me will love through me. Think of it again as the brilliance of the sunlight reflecting off those petals, reflecting out of the beautiful golden face of the buttercup. Now, if that's the case, then the love that I have, the love that I show, will be a love for all that the Spirit loves. I will love what the Spirit loves. What does the Spirit love? What does the Holy Spirit of God love tonight? Well, he loves God, first of all. He loves what he has always loved. He loves the other persons in the Trinity with whom he has shared an endless and unimaginable existence. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From all eternity, the Spirit has shared love with the Father and with the Son, the love of the three persons of the Trinity. And so, first of all, if we want to know how to love God, then we must recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit within our hearts as Christians, and that the Holy Spirit, first and foremost, he loves God. He loves the Father, and he loves the Son. So when he is at work in us and his love is working through us, the fruit of the Spirit is love. First of all, it's love for the Father and it's love for the Son. But it will also be love for those whom God loves himself, those whom God delights in. And who does God love? Well, he loves the angels. And he also loves his people. And in a wider sense, he loves all mankind. But we will love those whom God loves and those in whom God delights most of all. Let us love one another, says John. We will love one another and we will love the angels as well. Although maybe we find that a bit abstract at the present time, it will certainly be something that will be very real to us in heaven itself. So in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, let's hear what Paul says there. Ephesians 5:1, "Be imitators of God," says Paul, "therefore as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So, with the love of the Spirit within us, we will be imitators of God. That's an amazing picture, to be an imitator of God. And the only way that's possible is because God is within us by his Spirit. And just as we are dearly loved children, loved by God, so we will love those who are dearly loved children of God. We will live lives of love too. Christ loved us. That's God loving us. So God within us, the Spirit, will also love us. Will also love other Christians. The Father loves his children. The Son loved us. And now by the Holy Spirit within us, we love us. Let me just sum it up in a simple way. The God who loves us, in us, to love us, through us. The God who loves us, in us, by his Holy Spirit, in us, to love us so that we love the body of Christ, other Christians. God within us to love through us. To love through us. And it really is a wonderful picture, because when we know these things become perfect in heaven, it shows us that heaven is going to be a place of wonderful love, where the love that exists first and foremost and always in the Trinity will be a love that we will get a portion of and a share in because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. The sunlight shining out from us. God's love in us because God is in us. The Spirit who loves the Father and the Son, loving from within us so that we ourselves love the Father and the Son. And we love those whom the Father and the Son love. There will be love shared all around. And because it is God's love, there is no limit to it. It's an amazing thing to think about. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, it's a beautiful picture, but why doesn't it really look like that at the moment? Or why don't I look like that? Don't mean me personally, but maybe you're looking at me and saying, well, Roddy, practice what you preach. And I'd love to, more fully. The thing is, though, and this is the next point, we have to give consent to this. We have to give consent to this. There's only one thing that we need to give to God so that his love will come forth from us to him and to others. There's only one thing, and that is our consent. Our consent. It's a wonderful picture, God in us, loving through us, but it's not fully seen yet, because this is part of the canvas, part of the picture that God is still working on. God doesn't always get our consent. Now, I'm glad that he does it this way, because if he didn't do this way and he just sent the Spirit into our hearts and then basically took over and took control, then that would be dehumanizing. If he didn't get our consent but just made us love, then that would be depersonalizing. That would be actually taking control, and control is never anywhere the language the Bible uses for God's relationship with his people, and you and I should be thankful for that. He doesn't take possession. That kind of language is a language that the devil is spoken of as doing, but not ourselves, not God. He wants our consent. And this is the weak link. It's the human will. This is the weak link. Because the human will is not yet fully consenting to the power of God's Spirit working within us, to the love of God shining forth through us. It's the sinful human heart. We're afraid. Are you afraid tonight? Are you afraid of what your life might look like if God's love was just pouring forth from it to others in this community? You afraid of what that might be like? John, remember, back in 1 John 4, we didn't read this bit, but John says, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. 1 John 4:18. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Tonight, you and I are probably scared to really love with the love of God, because we're scared of what it might cost us. We're scared of what people might say about us. We're scared of the changes that it would bring to our lives. And so we do not give full consent to God that his love would shine forth through us. And of course, along with this fear, we have other things that we want to do, because we have still got sinful nature, the flesh, human desires that are for things that the Spirit of God abhors. Galatians 5 verse 17, the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So actually the Holy Spirit comes, he lives in us when we become Christians, but we actually war against him. Our desires war against him. We don't give the consent that we should give and would be in our best interest to give for God's love to shine forth through us. And we need God to forgive us for our foolishness in us. Instead, we should trust God. We should consent always to his love being shown through us. And then we will live like Jesus, as we read in Ephesians 5. We will live a life of love, just as Christ loved us. But at the present, we need constantly to repent of our desires which war against the Spirit, and of our fear. Because of these things, we don't consent to the work of the Spirit in us. And so finally, what God is saying to you and to me, just to come back to the analogy of the buttercup, he's saying, open your petals. Open up your petals. Have you ever seen a buttercup in the bright heat of a sunny summer's day with its petals closed? Have you ever seen that? No, of course you haven't. The buttercup, when the sun shines and it gets lovely and warm, the buttercup opens up its petals to soak up as much of the sunshine as it can and to radiate that light. To radiate that light, no doubt it's all about pollination and attracting insects and all the rest of it. But it doesn't refuse the sunshine. It opens to the sunshine and it becomes radiant. Are your petals opened this evening to the sunlight of God's Spirit, to the love of God's Spirit? While God's Spirit radiates love in your heart, are your petals open to reflect that love so that others may see it and receive it too? God wants us today, tonight, if you like, to open your petals. He wants us to consent to His love radiating from us. Because I know that at the end of my life, and I'm sure for you too, there are some words that you'd like to hear, and I'd like to hear. What are those words? Well, at the end of my life, I would like to hear the words that Jesus tells us about in Matthew 25. Words that He would say to me. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. That's love, isn't it? When we feed the hungry, give something to the thirsty. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Jesus says in that parable, says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me, Jesus says. The Spirit within us loves the Son, loves Jesus, the Son of God. And so wherever we see Jesus, and Jesus says, whatever you did in for my brothers, you do for me. So whenever the Spirit sees any of the brothers, He wants to show love to them. He wants to feed them when they're hungry. He wants to visit them when they're in prison. For us, well, we must give consent to that. And that's where the blockage often is. But that is what we must do if we want to hear at the end of our lives, I was a stranger, and you invited me in. That is what we must do. We must give consent. We must open up our petals so that we may hear the words, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. So the challenge that Jesus leaves with you and me tonight is a challenge not only to recognize that the sun is shining, not only to recognize that the Spirit of Jesus is within us, the Spirit of love, not only to recognize that because of that, the potential for love in our lives is beyond bounds. We can love with God's love. But also to recognize the challenge to give consent to that. And not to give in to fear. And not to give in to the desires of our own human nature. But to be happy to trust God. To let His love shine through us. Because if we trust Him, we know that He will always take us on the very, very best way in our lives. And if we trust ourselves and choose the way that we go for ourselves, we will not go on the best way. And we will not follow the way of God's love often. And our petals will be closed while the sun is shining. So God is challenging me and He's challenging you tonight to take a good look at the big picture, at the full canvas of what's happening in this rich theme of biblical teaching about love. God's in us, and He would shine His love through us. And so we need to open our petals. We need to give consent so that through us we may love, God may love. God may love Father, Son, and Spirit. God may love His people. God, may you love the stranger and the thirsty and those who are in prison. And at the end of our lives, we may hear a recognition that we consented to that within us. And he will say to us, "Come, blessed are my Father." Amen.